Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Discover the Finger Lakes on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. If you've been driving on 5 and 20 by the Ramada recently, you may have noticed some new buildings going up. And if you didn't know about Lake Tunnel Solar Village, that's what they are. They're on the other side of 5 and 20 from the Ramada. And it's exciting to see this project going in. We have a couple of the key people in this project, Tracy and Ryan Wallace and Marita Wallace, with us to tell us what's happening. And it's actually really exciting because they already have some of these installed. They've been working on this project for a few years, and now they're actually on site. You can see them. And Tracy, what's the background of how Lake Tunnel Solar Village first came about?
So we were interested in submitting as part of the DRI project.
So the DRI stand for?
Downtown Revitalization Initiative grant award that the city of Geneva was looking for projects to be submitted as part of this opportunity to get this award to revitalize downtown. And we came up with the idea or concept of solar-powered homes with all the solar technology integrated into the homes, smaller homes, not your traditional. Our homes are between 650 square feet and 1,050 square feet. So we submitted and Geneva was awarded and our project took off.
How did the site get picked? Was this the first site you really wanted, your dream spot for it, or were you looking at a variety of places in Geneva?
We always kind of had our eye on this forgotten about spot in Geneva. It was a parking lot for many, many, many years. The Lake Tunnel pedestrian tunnel, which is already there, was known to many locals because it connects basically downtown to the lake at Lake Access.
And there's a park and a dog park and a kids play area that probably people used and then would walk through the tunnel to the lake?
Yes. So the playground is right on the lakeside, other side of the tunnel. And then on the other side of the railroad tracks is the ice skating rink and the dog park. So it was a very attractive spot in our eyes because it's easy access, lake living, views of the lake. You can walk, sit, read a book. You can take your dog to the dog park. You can walk downtown and enjoy all that downtown has to offer. The Welcome Center now has been revamped, so very much attractive for walking, biking.
Some great views of the lake.
Lake living, yeah. For lower costs. Now the home, like I said, our homes are designed to have net zero, which means no utility bills, offset by the solar. All the heating, cooling, energy efficiency systems are integrated into our home designs so that there's no electric bill. And that's also attractive to people with our pricing and lake access. So,
Marita, I think your background is in real estate. Is that right?
It's in real estate. And I also used to work with Ryan, who also happens to be my son. We did a lot of infill project in New Mexico where we built home. I would find the homes and we would completely gut them and make them all sustainable and with a lot of energy efficient parts in there and then sell them again.
There's some great solar power there. And every home should have solar power in New Mexico.
That's true. Even though people always say, why in New York? Because there really is not that much solar there. We have a lot of cloudy skies, but it's amazing how it does kind of even out because even though we have maybe less sun here, but we have longer days in the summer than you have in New Mexico. Being further south, it's more even. So it all kind of evens out in terms of the production of solar.
And I think you said you're originally from Germany, and I've been reading recently Germany, which is fairly far north in Europe. It's not known as the sunniest country in the world, has a tremendous amount of solar that's gone in and is really helping to lead the world in renewable energy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Germany has more solar on the roofs there than any other country in the world, as I understand. Being a small country the size of New England, really.
And I think by law, also, if you put at least a new factory or a commercial building up, you have to put solar on the roof. And that's just, you have to. It's the law.
Exactly. It's solar and also wind power. You drive along the famous Autobahns, which are, the highways in Germany, which have no speed limit, and you see mostly all the farms alongside there. There are always wind turbines. You see wind turbines everywhere. I mean, they kind of like big flowers, you know, and along the highway. And the solar too. Most of the homes, they don't just have a few panels. They have solar roofs, really, which is kind of what we will have here in ours, which is all covered with the solar panels. You know, it covers basically the whole roof.
Yeah, and so the units that are up now are ones that have been sold, that people purchased, that, and you'll put more up as more people purchase them?
Well, yeah, actually, we have the whole phase one is completely sold, which is basically 8 units, and we have still available in the second phase. In the first phase, which will be all ready to occupy by the end of this year. And then we will start, we might have another 1 or 2 in phase 2 ready for the end of this year. And there's still 1,050s and 650s available. And like Tracy already mentioned, they're all very sustainable net zero. We call them our net zero homes. And they're so tightly built, we use building material called SIP walls, which we showed you out there, which are basically kind of a styrofoam kind of thing. They're 6-inch walls, and there are no studs in between. The only studs you actually have are around the windows. And, you know, studs are not very efficient when it comes to insulation. So you have really high insulation factor in the walls. And then in the ceiling, they're 8-inch styrofoam. So that gives you an R40 for the ceiling. And our windows will be all triple pane windows. So there is a lot of energy efficiency in there. So basically, when it comes down to it, since they're so tightly built, we also have to use air exchangers. So the whole house will, like, once an hour, you have all new fresh air inside the house. So you don't have to worry about having no fresh air in that. So that's a big factor, too. And then we have heat pump technology. We use heat pumps, water heater and heat pumps with air exchanger inside the home. So you have the same exchangers. They do the heat in the winter and the air conditioner in the summer.
They're called mini splits, and they mount on the walls for the heating and cooling.
The heat pump outside, sitting outside the building, which draws in the air. And
so because these are built to specs, people can choose the colors that they want, the finishes on the interior. What kind of choices do they have?
Basically, we come out, we have several colors of exterior siding. People can choose from, as long as they don't have, the next door neighbor doesn't choose the same color. So we want harmony in there, but also variety, you know. And then when it comes to the inside, we probably have about the flooring. You have about 10 different choices of your flooring. And we also have the same thing with the kitchen cabinets. We are doing all IKEA kitchens. And so there'll be choices of the kitchen cabinets, and same for the countertops. And we have a basic model, so you can actually get into a 650-square-foot unit for $149,000. Which actually will be less, because the solar we have on there, you can claim as a tax credit. There's a $10,000 tax credit, which you basically get back, you know, your income tax from the federal. And if it's your primary resident, there's also $5,000 from the state. So the cost of the home, besides not having an electric or cooling bill, you also have that tax credit you get back. So I think it's going to be very affordable living for being downtown and at the lake at the same time.
And most importantly, you have Lake Drum Brewing like right around the corner.
That is very important to me, and the Linden Social Club, and actually all of those microclimate. We have some really great restaurants, and there are more coming. It seems like every month we have Luigi's, a little Italian place, which is a mom and pop. They have really good food there. And you have Lake Drum, which even has a beer, which is a Kölsch, which is very close to the German beer I'm used to in Kölsch, which is only sold in Cologne, in Köln, in Germany. And it's just the whole atmosphere, too. It's a place you can just go in and you're welcome. And it, you know, I'm on the older generation side, of course, but I have made so many friends just coming in and talking, and people are very friendly here in this town anyway. And the restaurant scene is really great. We have Freibird, which is also owned by the same people who have FLX Table, which is just, you know, as you probably know, that was one of the restaurants voted number one by USA Today for newest restaurant.
They actually won twice, best new restaurant and then also best winery restaurant in the country over several years. So they've, yeah, and then they have FLX Provisions, which is a wine shop there in Linden, and then FLX Wienery, which is further down the road. That's a happening place. And as I mentioned earlier, before we started the interview, I already have my tickets to Rosé Soirée, and that's in June 1st. But if you don't get your tickets now, it will be sold out within days, potentially. It's one of the most popular events. Ryan Wallace is also here with us, who is one of the key parts of this. Ryan and Tracy Wallace and his mother, Marita, are the three partners in the Lake Tunnel Solar Village. And Ryan, we've talked a little bit about the buildings themselves, but how about the landscaping around it, and what's been your goal with the plans for the pavement, the driveways, the ponds, et cetera, that are in the plan?
So it was really important to us when we were developing this to make the development not only net zero energy, but sustainable. We care deeply about the water quality and the impact of salt and fertilizers and such in Seneca Lake, the harmful algae blooms and the other water quality issues that come from runoff. And so what we've done is we spent an extraordinary amount of effort, design effort, engineering, and money to really filter the water runoff from the site. So all of the runoff from the paved areas, any oil, any road salt, that sort of thing, goes into bioretention areas, which are basically fancy sand and vegetation areas that filter that water before they go to yet another pond and then eventually go out to Seneca Lake. We also have an in-ground filtration system for the worst of the runoff. So the second part of that is not having landscaping that is dependent on fertilizers and constant carbon-based mowing systems, big lawn mowers and such. And so our grasses are a natural fine fescue that are designed to be left uncut most of the year. You cut them down once a year. They're meant to be left a little bit taller, and they're a finer grass, so they don't mat down when they get tall.
Sort of what people might think of as an ornamental grass, but much shorter, so that we sometimes see, you know, 3-4 foot high, 8 foot high ornamental grass, but these are really short.
Yeah, so it's like 8 to 10 inch grass, that think prairie grass. And so the goal here is to seed that throughout, have smaller ornamental trees that are not getting in the way of the solar production, and then having lots of permeable surfaces. So having compacted crusher-fine pathways with nice landscaping, and then the concrete that we have for the highest traffic areas, having that in kind of a pleasing organic shape rather than really hard straight lines. And so the net effect, our goal is to have this feel like a very natural setting as opposed to a more manicured setting. We manicured lawns and grasses and so on. They require labor, and they also require usually mechanical maintenance, like lawnmowers.
People are looking to downsize. Maybe, you know, they've done the lawn thing for 20, 30 years, so that maybe they're not so interested in the lawn anyway.
That's right. And in my opinion, the American lawn is the source of a tremendous amount of wasted energy and money and pollution. And so you can get a area that is incredibly appealing, lots of native flowers and grasses and ornamentals, and have this really rich garden feel, but without the maintenance.
And Marita, are these kind of geared in some ways to an older generation that's looking to downsize and doesn't want the big two-story home and, you know, the tenth or a quarter acre, half an acre to mow?
Yeah, well, we found out that we had a lot of people there, not necessarily retired people, but they're people, maybe the kids are off to college and they have these 3,000 square foot homes. They said, hey, we're not interested in this anymore. And their husband said, forget that lawnmower. He said, the smaller the lot, the better. So ours are pretty much just really very small lot, and there'd be no lawn mowing. or any of these, you know, time-consuming parts of living in those big, big homes. And, of course, the women said, hey, no cleaning anymore. Or some of the men say that, too. So, and, you know, it take half an hour to get the house cleaned instead of being basically a prisoner to your home.
It reminded me, the scale of them, somewhat of the house I lived in Norway as an exchange student, was just small house. The bedrooms were kind of small compared to where I live in the 1910 house now in Rochester. And so in some sense, it's a European style of living.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm originally from Germany, and the way we were brought up, we had a small home which had two bedrooms and a small living room, and we really didn't have any room to spare to do a lot of dancing in, which we still managed on that. But there's so much that people get used to, the certain big, we all have to have our big house and the American dream, the big land and the big house. And there's so much more to say about a smaller home, mm-hmm. and like downsizing and not having all the, well, the cost too of furnishing these big homes. You know, that's another thing, heating it and cooling it. So this is a lot more efficient and comfortable space, too.
But there's going to be a kind of a community building, so people have family gatherings or something. That's an area they could potentially use. How is that going to work? Do people pay a membership to be a part of it, or how does that community building, how does that set up?
So the way we've designed the community building is a membership-based facility, because what we don't want to do is to have an exclusive gated community. That's not the goal. The goal is to have a neighborhood that, a pocket neighborhood where the neighbors really know each other and interact with each other, but also interact with the wider public. And so anyone can come and be a member of the Village House. And you can become a member for a really nominal amount, $75 a month, and just have it as a great getaway spot. How many times have you been out and you maybe want to be around people, but you're not ready to go home yet? You want to maybe go read a book, but if you go home, you might get caught up in
doing chores,
doing some dishes, or yeah. And the Village House gives you that great third space. So not home, not work. It's a third space to go to that you can interact or not with other people. If you're living in a smaller space, it's also, you know, has some amenities that you might normally want to have in a bigger home, but really don't use that often. Let's be honest. Everyone would love to have a personal gym in their own home, but it might not be something that's worth spending the extra money to have sitting there unless you're using it really, truly every day. But now you have a little gym that you can go to. The other part is having some guest spaces. So one of the biggest problems that I see in home buying is people perceive that they have to have a dining room that will accommodate their largest event that they do every year, and they have to have a spare bedroom to accommodate their guests, even though those two events, for most people, don't happen more than a few times a year. So why pay monthly the mortgage or the heating bill and the electric bill and the cleaning to keep those spaces you don't use very often? So those are all things that are in the Village House. And so the other amenities that we want to bring to it are a next level of membership, which would be bicycles, electric scooters, kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, things that enhance what you can do living so close to Seneca Lake here and so close to downtown.
But take up a lot of space.
Exactly. Those are things that, rather than keeping a kayak of your own that you might use once a week, you can go check out a kayak from the Village House that's on a rack. You're not having to mess with it. And by the way, you're not having to maintain it. Someone else is maintaining those things. You come and you grab them and you use them. The next level of this that will come much later is vehicles. So the shared vehicle movement has already started. Uber, Lyft. The next stage of that is having a vehicle that is even more accessible. So the next stage of the Village House is to have a third level of membership where you get rid of your car and you just use one of the shared vehicles. And you're going to pay less per month. You're going to have a newer vehicle. It's going to be electric. And so it's going to be charged off of the solar carports. And so you literally have no downside to giving up your vehicle. And in fact, when it's time to use a vehicle, you're using the appropriate vehicle. If it's just you going to the grocery store, the little two-seater car with a cargo area is perfect. If you have guests over and you want to go down the wine trail, the SUV is a better option. And as this concept grows and we have more communities that interact, you'd be able to get resources that are at other communities. So you get two or three communities under our belt. We might have a large pickup truck, a 15-passenger van. These are things that people do never need to own on their own. If they own, it would sit in their driveway for 363 days of the year.
Or in their garage, which in this case, you don't have garages, but you do have covered spaces for the cars, right? So, and that allows you more space for solar panels. Tracy?
Yeah, so all the covered parking is going to be with solar carports. So while there's not garages on most of the homes, they still have, their cars are protected. Mm-hmm. But like Ryan's saying, if we go to of a more shared vehicle type program, there's fewer cars, fewer emissions.
That's the long-term goal. And then how about, I heard you mention earlier, summer rentals or short-term rentals, maybe not necessarily summer, but so someone wants to come for a week during the winter, or a visiting professor at Hobart William Smith, or are there options for those types of short-term rentals?
So phase one in the development is mostly short-term rentals, and those are owned by individuals. So they would have, I mean, if somebody in phase two had someone coming and staying, sure, they could reach out to that owner and say, are you available this week? I have family coming. Or
so again, that's, they'll be owned, but if someone's in Florida for 6 months, they'll be potentially, if the owner wants to, they'll be available for short-term rentals?
Yeah, correct. And we have basically in the first phase, we have some of them, actually a couple of them, which are just investors, and it's going to be solely a vacation rental. And some of them who might use it for 1 or 2 months and rent it the next, and it's going to be handled more like a HomeAway, you know, Airbnb kind of thing. So we're hoping to have maybe one company who handles all of it, which makes it advantageous when people have a group or that it can be rented and rented out. So there'll be done short-term rentals. And like I said, there'll be probably 8 units which have short-term rentals available.
Right. And the one thing we didn't discuss earlier really was that, you know, again, with solar in the name of Lake Tunnel Solar Village, that's the key. And Ryan, you've been part of the solar industry for quite a while. So maybe give us some background on what you've done and where you see solar power now compared to when you started.
So when I was 15, we installed our first solar array at our family cabin in Grants, New Mexico, which is near the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico.
Still operating, according to your website, I saw.
It is. And
1995,
that's right. So, you know, it's really a testament to the technology. It's an incredibly stable technology. There's no moving parts in a solar panel. And they've certainly improved. They've certainly gotten more efficient, and they've certainly gotten more cost efficient. So the an average panel, when we put in that solar installation back in 1995, an average solar panel was $1,600 and produced 80 watts. And we can buy a panel now that produces 4 times that amount of energy for $170. So the whole dynamics have changed, and my philosophy in so my part of all this is that is I help run the actual factory that produces the homes, and I put solar everywhere I can because for the cost of it, better to have more energy than not enough, and especially when that energy is non-polluting, is integrated into the home, and has no moving parts. It's just, it's a win-win. So what we do is we have really, I guess, evolved from just installing these solar arrays on existing homes to really designing the home from the ground up to be specific for solar. And so they're very, very energy efficient. They have built-in what's called air source heat pump technology. It basically, instead of using electricity to produce the heat, you're using electricity to capture heat from the outside air. So you have geothermal, which captures heat from the earth, and you have air source heat pumps that capture heat from the ambient air. And so the natural question is, hey, this is upstate New York. There's no heat in the ambient air.
I don't know. We had 22 days above 90 last summer. So,
well, exactly. But in the winter, it does feel cold, although we are certainly, as solar people, very aware of the weather. And I can tell you that it is getting both sunnier and more extreme in New York. We've definitely seen that in our solar data. So what a heat pump does is it, as long as the temperature outside is above negative 27.
If we see negative 27, the wineries are done. So hopefully we're safe there.
So worst case, hopefully never. But there's still heat to pull out of the ambient air. So a heat pump pulls that heat out of the ambient air and brings it inside. It concentrates it and brings it inside. And that technology's come a long ways so that we can actually completely heat and power these homes with solar. And that's obviously a huge part of everything we do. But what's great about it, too, is the most efficient way of managing a solar home is just to always keep it at 70 degrees. So you never have to have that thermostat battle. You know, keep it at 70, even 72. And frankly, the more consistent you keep it, the more efficiently the house will run.
We're with Ryan and Tracy Wallace and Marita Wallace, who have a Lake Tunnel Solar Village and the Solar Factory, and a Solar Home Factory. And Tracy, so the homes that you're building in the factory don't need to go to the Lake Tunnel Solar Village. They can go to someone else's property in the Finger Lakes. They can go anywhere, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we are, while we're focused on Lake Tunnel as our first project, our homes will be designed to go on other lots in the city. We're focused on the Finger Lakes region right now, and I'll let Ryan confirm, but I believe it's 400 miles from the factory. Okay.
That's how far we can move them.
That's right. Basically, as far as we can drive them in a single day. So not a lot of places to park a 16-foot by 47-foot house overnight. So we're focused on New York, and we're focused on New York because of a couple major factors. One is the participation by Empire State Development and the governor's office in encouraging these projects. We received a $1.2 million grant, which went toward basically building the infrastructure for the village. As a small startup, I mean, we're a family-run business, the prospect of building a factory, engineering a new product, and being developers was daunting. Some would even say crazy.
Three of you that are crazy to offset each other.
That's right. We're all kinds of different kinds of crazy. So what has been phenomenal about this DRI grant is it took a lot of the risk out of it. And then the second factor, the risk of the development. We still have a tremendous amount of risk otherwise. But the second factor of it is we've been operating where we can work with a specific local bank who's been very accommodating to us, Alliance National Bank. They've helped us. They've financed the factory. They've financed the development. They've taken the time to understand a very new and non-traditional business model. And that's difficult for banks to do.
I think, and Lions helped to finance the array at Fox Run. So they've gotten involved in solar and see it as what it is. I mean, it seems like a great investment, because there's not much that can happen to it. You know, it's just, again, as you said, no moving parts.
And that's right. But it's still overall new compared to internal combustion and 2x4 construction and gas furnaces. This is still cutting edge by comparison, even though it is proven technology and has been around a while. It's still seen as somewhat new and risky. And from a financial perspective, it's really the biggest issue I think facing our nation right now is there are a lot of people and organizations who want to revitalize northeastern cities like Geneva and Auburn and Utica and Rome and Schenectady and Oswego, and it goes on. And there's these kinds of endeavors, there's these kinds of enterprises that are not wild, crazy ideas, but they aren't the run-of-the-mill ideas. And it takes the capital to make those projects happen. And so we're very fortunate, like I said, between the state and Lions, that we've got two great partners to help make that happen. And then in another 10 years, we're going to look back and no one's going to say this is radical or crazy or cutting edge. It's just, yeah, it's a new home and it's built in a factory and it doesn't have utility bills. Like, why would you do it another way?
Are there other homes and projects like this around New York State or around the Northeast?
So there are other urban infill developments, and there are other builders who add solar to their homes. However, this is the first development that we know of in the entire United States that is modular homes with solar installed in the factory. So homes built in a factory specifically designed to be net zero. To our knowledge, we're the first ones doing that. And I think a big part of that is it's just the market kind of catching up to these new realities. I mean, we did this not because we wanted to be different, but because the price of solar came down so much and because good labor is hard to get. And because New York winters are hard to build in. Like, these are all pretty major factors that led us to this decision.
You really are one of the first in the country, then you really are nuts. But it's also...
I said, we resemble that remark.
I want to make sure I caught that. But you're doing it in, a northern climate, which... people might not guess would be as good for solar, but I've talked to people like Will Olean at Eagle Crest Vineyards, and on a winter day with clouds, his meter's running. Those solar panels are producing some energy, even when the sun's not out, even when it's a short day in the middle of winter.
That's right. Solar works in overcast. If you can see 100 yards away, you're producing some energy. And apologies for the background noise. You can tell we're...
We're in a factory.
And then what's also important to note is because the Public Service Commission allows net metering, we aren't beholden to just what we can produce in those cloudy days. We'll have a very sunny day. We'll generate extra credit and use that on a cloudy day. And also, one of the questions we get a lot, because our homes have very unique roof profile, they're almost flat, they're nearly flat roof, and the concern is, well, what happens when we get snow on the solar panels? Well, we could actually turn off the solar array for the entire months of January and February and only lose 6% of our annual solar production. And so what that means is that we're producing a vast majority of our energy from March to October. And furthermore, what people don't realize is that in the months of June and July, the solar on our homes will outproduce the exact same size solar array sitting in Miami, Florida. And that's just because the days are longer. So there's a lot of advantages to being in the Northeast as well. And for us, it's certainly the summers, but also it's access to great freshwater lakes. And that's something that I get looked at a little bit funny when I say this, but I think in the next 20 years, we're going to see a net migration back to the areas where there's ample freshwater. We're from New Mexico originally, and in New Mexico, they're drinking river water now, because the wells are going dry. The municipal wells are actually running dry. So they're drinking river water from Colorado through a tunnel they bored through a mountain. And it's like, after a certain point, it's going to become a critical enough issue that people are going to move back to places where there's ample freshwater.
So, Marita, if someone wants to get more details and is interested in buying one of these units in the Lake Tunnel Solar Village, do they make an appointment with you?
Yeah, so we have a couple of websites. One is the laketunnelsolarvillage.com, where somebody can go on and they actually can look at floor plans and site maps and so on. And the best thing is there's also contact on there, where they can submit a contact name, and then we will call them back and we will contact them and make an appointment and bring them down here and show them the factory and show them some of the homes that we are building.
What's the number?
The phone number, 315-230-4070.
All right. And winters, right now is a good time. You have homes available, right? Villas and others that people can plan for potentially in this year before the end of the year, but certainly in 2020 they would be in?
Yeah, we have the first phase, which is going to be done by the end of this year, and which are all sold. But then we have the second phase, which we hope to be able to have a couple already done by the end of this year or the first of next year. And the rest of them should be all done by the end of next year. And there are 650 square foot and 1,050 square foot units available. And when you come before we are building them, you can work with us and maybe do some modification, which is harder to do once they're built. You know, we will build them one way or the other, but if you reserve yours now, then we work with you in terms of the modification. We've had a few people say, I don't want two baths, and I only want one bath, and so on. So we will be able to work with them. So give us a call, and then come on down.
Yeah, right in Geneva, and very appropriately, you're right under two big wind turbines, right, Tracy?
Yeah, those are Zotto's wind turbines, so it's a nice drive-in. You see the solar home factory on your right, and the wind turbine straight ahead.
I often take this bypass to go down to the east side of Seneca Lake, so I've come down Forge for 15, 20 years. I didn't actually know the name of the street. I just knew it was the bypass to the east side of Seneca Lake to the wineries. And again, the big wind turbines are right here. So great spot for you. And again, there you'll see a couple of the homes are up now along 5 and 20. So you can get a sense for what they'll look like. So it must have been awfully exciting to see those go out of the building and get installed.
It was a really huge day for us. A lot of hard work, a lot of vision and plans and risk and everything all coming to fruition. So it was a really exciting day when we got them on site.
What day did they arrive on site?
2 weeks ago, this coming Saturday.
It was February 1st, and then we picked them up with the crane the next day and put them on their foundation.
Well, again, it's LakeTunnelSolarVillage.com. You can get more details. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
And Ryan, I appreciate your time.
Absolutely, and thank you for all your work on the water quality issues in Seneca Lake. And you know, it's really important to us as people living in Geneva and on the lake, all the attention going towards the water quality and the preservation of the lakes, because we have a remarkable natural resource here, and it's definitely worth protecting.
Marita, appreciate your time and involvement in this, you know, bringing, in some sense, a European style of home and energy conservation and solar. Thanks for all your work on this.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things we are not just putting this in here to make money. We are very environmental responsible people, you know, even coming from Germany, they have been for years, and it's finally starting to catch up here too. So our goal is to have very sustainable homes with a lot of environmentally friendly, like Ryan was explaining about the ponds for the water runoff. So it's very important for us, all of this, yeah.
Yeah, well, this is your home too.
This is our home. We live here.